Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode of Living Loud Outdoors. On the mic with you, it's Easter Sunday. He is risen. You know that. The tomb is empty. Won't you come and see? Man, I've got an exciting message for you today. I have worked on this. It actually was a message that I heard preached the other day by Mario Murillo. If you're not familiar with him, he is an evangelist, a revivalist, preaches some powerful stuff. And man, I thought the message that he has delivered here is one that's uncommon to some degree, although I've recently heard a couple other pastors touch on this very subject. But I thought, I want to share this with you. I want to bring this out. I titled it The Day After. Mario's title was Peter on the Day After Jesus Died. But I want to get right into this because I've got quite a bit of notes, and I want to be able to take this where I want it to go. The day after, he screamed, and he kept screaming until he could scream no more. Then he fell off a cliff into the abyss of broken souls. The force of his crash could have moved the earth. Fragments lay around him, a new and hideous replacement of his former self. Shame replaced love. Cowardice replaced faith. Fear drove out hope to make room for the mocking predator. Worst of all, he saw his destiny plunge into a black hole of regret. This is the day after Jesus died. To survive, Peter became a robot. What did he do? He went fishing. It's what he was programmed to do. Peter went through the motions, avoiding feeling and suppressing every emotion. The difference between Peter and Judas Iscariot is razor thin. The same fever of despair and regret raged in both of them. It drove Judas to suicide. Why didn't Peter do what the other traitor did? It was because Jesus had prayed for him. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 through 34. Simon, Simon Peter, listen. Satan has demanded permission to sift all of you like grain. But I have prayed especially for you, Peter, that your faith and your confidence in me may not fail, and you, once you have turned back again to me, strengthen and support your brothers in the faith. And Peter said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And Jesus said, I say to you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will utterly deny three times that you know me. Man, this is a powerful piece of scripture. So many things that break out in this. As I set this message together, Rhonda and I sat and talked about this because there's certain things that I hadn't noticed before. Isn't that funny how the Word does that? How the Word is constantly living and breathing and growing inside of us as the veils are taken more and more off our eyes to see more and more truth. Look at what this says again. It says, Simon, Simon Peter, listen. Okay, he's wanting his attention here. Listen, Satan has demanded permission to sift all of you. In other words, he's talking to all of us. Satan's demanded permission to sift all of you, every one of my disciples, every one of my followers. But I've prayed especially for you. So Jesus was praying for all of his disciples, but especially this moment he was praying for Peter because he knew what Peter was fixing to do. That your faith and your confidence in me may not fail. And I love this part. And you, once you have turned back again to me. See, Jesus knew he was going to deny him. He knew he was going to turn away from him, but he also knew he was going to return to him. There's something very important placed in this scripture. Strengthens and support your brothers in faith. And Peter said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go to prison and death for you. I'm ready to die for you. That was Peter's words. Jesus said, I say to you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will utterly deny me three times that you don't even know me. And that's exactly what happened. Satan told Peter a lie. Peter did not only believed that lie, but he embodied it. And it's in the same lie that Satan's telling America today, the lie that all good and important things are gone forever. You heard that? Will we ever be again a great nation? Will we ever go back to where we were? Listen to what he's saying here. It's a lie straight from the pit of hell that all good and important things are gone forever. Whenever those who hate God try to enforce a change, they call it the new normal. They do that with America, too. You notice that? Those who hate God, those who are looking for a easier way out than the Word of God, they call it a new normal. Well, God's Word's changed, right? I mean, He's a God of love. He wouldn't send anybody to hell. And you're right, He won't. That's a choice we make. They sold us on the new normal when they sold us on abortion. They sold us on the new normal when they sold us on same-sex marriage. They sold us on the new normal when they sold us on godless education. Their latest excuse of seizing control came in the form of a virus. They tried to control a nation once again, a world, actually. Something to remember, the new normal is always nothing other than the old abnormal. It's just disguised. It's presented in a shiny new package. Same old toy, shiny new box, right? Memories tortured Peter. He tried to fight it with all his might. It was impossible not to relive those days. Now, I want you to think about this. Think about what Saturday, they call it Silent Saturday. Most of the followers of Christ were hiding Saturday. They were somber. It was a day of solace. It was a day where they were literally reliving everything that has happened up until the moment they watched Jesus die on the cross. They watched Him being put into a tomb as a dead body. What a loss. I mean, what do we do now? Where do we go from here? He was our master. He was our leader. We've been following Him for a solid 3 years. Most had been following Him. Two mistakes haunted him the most. Thinking he could save Jesus, he swung his sword at the head of the high priest's servant, Malchus, who fortunately had moved just in time, and he only lost an ear in that scuffle. But the greatest horror was his discovery that he was a coward. He denied Jesus 3 times. He's been working with this man for 3 years. I mean, side by side, in a family-style relationship, and he denied Him in a most important time. The rooster was still crowing in Peter's spirit. And it is the same lie that Satan's telling America right now, the lie that all good things, all important things, are gone forever. They've been removed. Peter is haunted by the day he met Jesus. Come back to that spot. He's minding his own business when Jesus interrupts his entire life. Right? Go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 through 20. As Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, He noticed two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And He said to them, "Follow Me as My disciples, accepting Me as your master and teacher, and walking the same path of life that I walk, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and they followed Him, becoming His disciples, believing and trusting in Him and following His example. Fishing all night, they had caught nothing. His hands are red and sore. Every muscle ached. He had nothing to show for a brutal night out on the water. But check out Luke's recording of this very moment of destiny. Luke sees it in a little bit different way, and I love this rendition. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Now it happened that while Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, with the people crowding all around Him and listening to the word of God, that He saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of those boats, which was Simon's, and He asked him to put out a little distance from the shore. And He sat down and He began teaching the crowds from the boat. When He had finished speaking, He said to Simon Peter, "Put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch of fish." Simon replied, I love Peter. Peter was a knucklehead. I can relate to Peter because I kind of got that same aspect of life. Listen to what he says. He said, "But Master, we worked hard all night. To the point of exhaustion, we caught nothing. There's no fish in this water. But your word, I will do as you say, and I'll lower the nets one more time." You got to imagine him. "All right, we've done this all night. We've fished all night. We're wore out, man. I mean, we've been out here at this all night, moving these nets in and out of the water, and we've caught nothing. There's no fish here. But I'll drop them one more time just to prove it to you that there's no fish here. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were at the point of breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both of the boats with fish, so much so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he and his companions were completely astounded at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon Peter. Jesus said to Simon, "Have no fear. From now on, you will be catching men." After they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and they followed him, becoming his disciples, believing and trusting in him, and following his example. What an incredible story. I mean, this is how Peter met Jesus. Remember this. This was 3 years prior to his denial. He saw the miraculous. He saw the things that took place. For 3 years, he followed Jesus. For 3 years, he was right there. For 3 years, he knew in his heart, in his mind, "I'll die for this man if need be. I'll go to the grave for him. I'll protect him. I'll do whatever it takes." Because he'd seen what Jesus was. Then a strange teacher said, and I'm just going to recap this, "Let down your nets again for a catch." Now, Peter half-heartedly did this as he asked because the catch was so enormous it terrified him. He begged Jesus to keep his distance. "I'm a sinful man," Peter cried out. "Lord, you're obviously working a miracle here in the midst of sinners." Instead of leaving, Jesus spoke the eternal words, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." That was Peter's destiny. That became the identity and the very reason for living. It was his destiny. But Peter is now convinced, after his failure and denial, that it's too late. Everything good is gone forever. He believes his destiny is lost forever. Now, listen, you can't get lost in that impact, or you're going to lose the impact of what I'm about to say next. Peter believes he's failed. You ever been there? He believes he's failed, and his life is now over, but God. I need you to get a mental image here with me. The last 2 days have been a whirlwind, ending in the arrest and the brutal beating of Jesus, whom you've been following for the last 3 years now. It all ends Friday afternoon with a horrifying sight as your master is nailed to a cross with common thieves, and you watch him die. You watch as his body's taken down. You watch as it's wrapped in grave clothes, and you watch as it's placed in a tomb of rock, and a stone is placed over the door. "It's finished," is what Jesus said. "It's over. He's dead." Saturday, the Sabbath is spent in silence as you and the other followers of Christ relive these moments over and over in your mind, distraught, heartbroken, disbelief, even fearful and afraid. But Sunday's coming. And it's now dawn on Resurrection Sunday. Oh, I love this part. The ladies head to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body with the burial oils and the spices. They arrive to find the stone rolled away and the tomb is empty. And angels tell them, "He's not here. He's risen." Peter couldn't know that at that very moment an angel was actually talking about him. Mark 16:7, the angel of the Lord tells the women, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter, that Jesus is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he told you." The angel added the words, "and Peter." Go tell the disciples and Peter. Why would he do this? Why would he say it like that? Because God knew Peter would have disqualified himself if the invitation was sent for the disciples only. See, in Peter's mind, he was no longer a disciple. He failed. He had let Jesus down at his most brutal hour, and he had denied him. So when the angel said, and this, I love what Peter said. Peter demanded, "Are you certain the angel said my name?" "Yes." The words were, "Tell the disciples and Peter." At that moment, Peter rose from the dead himself. He knew he had not been rejected. He knew the unmatched glory of a second chance. Satan did all he could to destroy Peter. He knew this man would shake the gates of hell themselves. The first shaking came on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit, in the form of wind and fire, transformed Peter forever. The coward who had denied his Lord three times has now been restored. Jesus appears to Peter, giving him three new chances to affirm his love. Jesus even provided a charcoal fire. It was by a charcoal fire that Peter had failed. Remember, he was warming his hands over the fire when he denied Christ. When Jesus reaffirms him, it's over a fire of charcoal cooking fish. Peter is utterly transformed. You can see that entire story in John chapter 21. It's a beautiful story. I didn't have time to put it into these notes. He is now a lion carrying a devastatingly powerful witness. The lion inside of him roared. Listen to this. And this is Peter's first sermon. This is which is spoken of the prophet Joel, his first ever sermon following the infilling of the Holy Ghost in the upper room. In the days after Jesus died, evil exerted a crushing blow on an entire city. All of the Christians hid in their homes behind their locked doors. It's similar to that today. Satan wishes to crush our hopes and our dreams today. Evil men would tell us the lie that we must adapt to a grim, cold, and darker, lesser version of America, the church, and our futures. Those who are marked by God are unstoppable. When the doors reopen for America, God will fully restore our destiny. But there is one miracle that remains to be explored. The cutting of Malchus' ear haunted Peter. But there was more to it than just healing an ear. Because, my friend, that night Jesus healed more than an ear, knowing the very future. Jesus knew Peter could not be sitting on death row on the day of Pentecost. You understand, we read over so much that's imparted to us in the Scriptures. That's why when we go back and read it again, things begin to just come alive. As our maturity in spirit becomes more and more, our eyes are opened more and more, and the veils are lifted more and more, and we're able to see more truth. But you understand what he said there. Peter couldn't be sitting on death row. If he'd have killed Malchus, if he'd have sliced his head off, that was what he was doing. He swung that sword to cut his head off. Malchus ducked, and he simply got his ear. But had he cut the head of Malchus off, Peter would have been in prison. He wouldn't have been a free man to complete the mission that God had given him. Jesus prayed, permit even this, and he reattached the ear in order to protect Peter's destiny. He's also guarding your destiny. This very moment, Jesus is interceding for you. He's pleading your case, and he's standing in the gap for you. It is Resurrection Sunday. May the dead in Christ arise. Come out of that grave that you've been hiding in and begin to proclaim the message of the King of Kings. He's alive. He's alive. This old song came to me as I finished the details of this message. This song is basically from Peter's perspective. I love how it was written. I don't remember the author right off the bat, but you can look this up. The song title is He's Alive. It's an old tune. But listen to the wordage of this. And I may not be able to just read it. I may have to sing some of this. But just listen. He's alive. The gates and doors were barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound. Keep in mind, this is coming from Peter's perspective. Half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear, the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Then, just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and I looked down to the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she had been. She said they've moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. Oh, the stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. So we both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone in the empty tomb, just the way Mary had said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell, and how or where they'd taken him, it was more than I could tell. Perhaps something strange had happened there, just what I did not know. John believed a miracle. I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, because I'd seen them crucify him, and then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came, Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it could never be the same. Then suddenly the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. The light came from everywhere, drove shadows from the room. Then Jesus stood before me, with his arms he held open wide, and I fell down on my knees and I clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet as I looked into his eyes. Love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. 'Cause he's alive. He's alive. He's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive today. What an incredible picture that's being painted for us. I've got an entirely, a whole other message of Jesus coming back to Peter on the and meeting the guys on the shore. I'm not exactly sure when I'm going to get to bring that. I hope very soon, maybe tomorrow. I may continue on in this theme where Jesus meets them once again after his resurrection. Actually, it's the third time that they see him. There's three times that they saw Jesus after he was killed on that cross, buried, and rose again. But think about this. Think about the restoration of Peter. The very man who denied him, denied he even knew him. What a powerful scene we have of Peter's description in that song. He's alive. He's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. God's got things for you to do. Satan is meant to destroy you. He's meant to mess you up. He's meant to disrupt your entire destiny. But Jesus says, I got plans for you. I've known this from the beginning of time. I've set you apart to be a voice to the nation. I know the plans I have for you, and the plans are for good, not for evil. I'm coming to restore you today. Today is Resurrection Sunday. Today is when you rise from the dead, just as Peter did. That day when those angels said, go get his disciples and Peter too. Peter rose from the dead. Today he's calling out to you. You're not done. He's not through with you. There's more. You know how many times I've heard that in my own life? God's not done with you yet. I actually heard it the day before I had my first heart attack. God told me the day before I had my very first heart attack. I had no idea I was going to have a heart attack. I was 34 years old. I was a young man. But God told me on a Saturday, you're not even doing what I've called you to do yet. And the next day I was laying in a hospital, wires all over me. I'd had a heart attack. God's not done with you yet. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've been going through, but I'm telling you today that he's alive. He's alive and I'm forgiven. He's alive and you're forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. Your destiny still stands before you. The promises that God spoke over you have never gone away. He doesn't take them back. The gifts, the callings that he's placed upon your life, it doesn't matter how far you've ran. All you've got to do is turn. You turn around and he's right there. It's the story of the prodigal son. No matter how far you run away from him, the moment you turn, he's a step behind you, arms open wide, ready to embrace you in your return. He'll restore you to what he's called you to be and what he's called you to do. And he'll fill you once again with his passion and his love so that you can fulfill the destiny that he gave you from the very beginning of time. Jeremiah chapter 1 says he knew you before he ever formed you in your mother's womb. He had already set you apart to be a voice to the nation. That hasn't changed. It doesn't matter the journey that we've had. The path remains the same. He set the path. And the Bible says that Jesus is the light unto our feet and the lamp unto our path. He's calling you back today, this Resurrection Sunday. Will you not answer his call and turn from your way of death and be raised again in life with Christ? Amen. What a beautiful picture. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Knowing that God is on the throne, that Jesus is at his right hand. I don't believe he's sitting there anymore. I believe he's standing. I believe he's waiting to hear the words, go get him, son. I believe we're that close, that Jesus is on his feet and he's waiting for the call to come and take us home to be with him. We're that close. What a powerful time we are in. Don't let this catch you off guard. Today is your day to raise from the dead. Resurrection Sunday is here for you today. Let the stone be rolled away. Come out of that tomb yelling, "He's alive. He's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide." Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for following our podcast. Thank you for following along on our ministry. Thank you for your support financially and your prayers. We covet your prayers. Thank you so much for following with us, partnering with us in this journey as we continue to seek out that which is lost so that they may be found. God bless you. Find yourself Easter Sunday in a church today that's talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let His Holy Spirit lead you and guide you and bless you in Jesus' name. Rhonda and I love you. We'll talk to you again real soon.